Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Isaac played his favorite piano pieces. Amy twirled and glided and danced all around the room in her favorite costume. Stuart was the MC, describing his siblings' performances. Five-year-old Jimmy giggled with enthusiasm as the audience applauded. The Mitchell family was entertaining at the senior residence where their grandparents lived. Afterward, the kids reported that the most fun was sharing punch and cookies and actually chatting with the seniors after the show. How can we encourage more interaction between our children and older members of our community? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Today, we have guests who are comfortable and experienced with programming that crosses over the generations. Deborah Stiller is Director of Program Operations at Interages, an organization which focuses on what all ages can do and give to the community. She deals with programming for older adults and school-aged children. She's the mother of a 12-year-old son and a 15-year-old daughter. Welcome, Debbie.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Margaret Mehring is a counselor at Farmland Elementary School in Rockville, Maryland. She has been involved with Interages for about 10 years, working with Closing the Gap programming at elementary, middle, and high school levels. She has two sons and a daughter, all in their 20s. We're glad you could join us, Margaret.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Debbie, why should we bring together different generations?
It used to be families lived close together. Children had opportunities to visit frequently with their grandparents, with older aunts and uncles. That doesn't seem to be the case nowadays. Families are separated. Fewer children live near their grandparents. Fewer children have opportunities to interact with older adults. It's important for children to have the opportunity to interact with the older adults. It's important to dispel some of the myths and stereotypes that both of the generations have of each other.
Also, I think the sharing of lives and building relationships is really what life's all about. And what better teachers than people who've lived long lives to teach children that. And they do develop a wonderful rapport and relationship when they're brought together.
The vitality of the children and the experience and history of the seniors just seems to be a wonderful combination.
I think the other thing that I found certainly with my children is their concept of time is a little different than ours anyway. And so their concept of what the past is a very strange thing to us. And when they then hear about historic situations or experiences or whatever that were in the past and then they can connect it to an actual person's life, it makes it very exciting for them.
Living history. It's one of the things when we go to schools to talk to the children about visiting a senior facility, and we'll explain to them that one of the seniors, for instance, was one of the first computer programmers. So rather than reading about it in a book, here you have this live person who's going to tell you all about what it was like when computers took up an entire floor of a building. It's quite fascinating for the children. When I walk into a school, you're absolutely right, you know, and I'll go, well, what's the first thing that comes to mind when we say older adult? And they go, you. You're absolutely, you know, all in the perspective, isn't it?
Which we have to tell our listeners, this is not an older adult sitting across from us.
Not yet. Not yet.
Margaret, how do you prepare kids before they participate? What kinds of things do they need to have under their belts?
Well, the first thing you do, you talk with them and see what their perceptions are. And many times their perceptions are based on myths they've heard or attitudes from parents or even things they see in movies or on television. Many times they get these ideas in their head. And I think to have them, first of all, talk to see where they're coming from. And then maybe have them see, as Debbie said, what do you think is old? And it'll be interesting what they think is old. They'll say somebody who's 25 is old or somebody who's 40 is old. And then someone will say, well, my grandma's 70 and she's not that old. So it's good for them to talk about age perception.
The American Association of Retired Persons did a survey with school-age children, and they had them draw pictures of senior adults. And unfortunately, what they found was that many of the children who participated had very negative drawings. older adults were in wheelchairs. They were little. You know, the children were large. And even those children who had had very positive experiences with grandparents did not necessarily take these positive experiences and relate them to other older adults, which was unfortunately interesting, but not happy.
Conclusion. Years ago, when I started teaching, I was 24 years old, and I had high school students as my students all day long. And one time, it dawned on me, they thought I was about 40 years old, the age of their parents, because something was said about my being so old. And I said, well, how old do you think I am? And they all guessed 40, 42. Why do you think I'm that age? Well, you're an adult, and so are our parents. And so we had a lot of discussion at that time. I never forgot it because I thought, my God, if I'm 24 and I look 40. That was their perception.
And it's actually one of the advantages working with older adults. You know, you're forever young, and it's a wonderful, it's a wonderful feeling.
You also ask how I prepare, and as a school counselor, I always talk to parents about preparing children for things, and we often will tell children things. Now, remember your manners. Remember to say thank you. Remember to serve the other person first. But children often will hear what we say, but it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other. So the best way that I found for working with especially younger children and even the children that I worked in middle school was to actually role play what you would do when a senior citizen came in. Because somehow until a child has role played or actually gone through it, they're not comfortable doing it.
Does the child play the child or the older person? Or
I would usually play the older person and have them play the child.
Stereotyping.
They would have so much trouble, you know, asking questions, and we would practice. Or sometimes they would do it with each other. We would practice what we were going to do and how we were going to say it, which in many ways somebody might think that's unnecessary, but I find when you role play with children, then they're much more comfortable when they're in a situation. And I've found even children who, you know, parents have taught them manners, when they're in a social situation, don't use them because they've never actually been able to practice those manners. So I did a lot of role playing before the seniors would come, especially when I've done it with elementary school children.
What other kinds of things would you say that parents should keep in mind then when they get kids and older people together?
I think basic listening skills that we all need, you know, that you look at someone when you talk to them, that if they're talking, even if it's something you're not interested in, however, I didn't find that with the senior citizens, children are always interested, that you ask a few questions, just the basic listening skills. I would have parents do that. Also, children are so honest. And if they don't like something, that you also, if those are just skills you need to work on in general, you know, like if they say, you know, why does your hair look so funny if it has purple dye in it or blue dye in it, or that they learn those things. But those are skills you just need to teach children in general, that there's some things you're maybe don't say it into someone's face.
When my oldest was about 6 years old, he used to like to draw a lot, and he was drawing a picture of one of my great aunts, so you can imagine what the age difference was. And she was moving, and he said, "You've got to sit still. I haven't finished doing all the wrinkles yet."
Ah, cute. What I found that it was important when working with all the programs that I've worked with is that after the seniors leave, that you really process what has happened. And that, in a way, is preparation for the next time you will meet. Many times, the children just have questions if they have been polite enough not to ask the seniors, but they want to ask the other adults in the room or talk about things or their concerns. So I think it's very important when a child is around someone that after they leave, if they have questions, that you are there to answer their questions.
I think it's also important prior to visiting seniors in a facility or the seniors coming to school, for the parents and the children to have an aging awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's as important for the parents to understand as it is for the children that some of the seniors have difficulty hearing, seniors have difficulty seeing. As we age, our body does too. and we need to be responsive. If we speak in a very soft voice and we speak down and we look down, the senior might not be able to hear us, that seniors might want to touch us, and that it's not inappropriate. They just like to touch. I think it's very mm-hmm. important, and I find it's often more important to do it with the parents who have these preconceived negative attitudes at times, so that they're not transferred to the children. I mean, the whole idea is to dispel negative myths and stereotypes. And as you were saying before, Margaret, the books that kids read and the media, you know, the sweet old lady and the little old man and 39 and holding, I mean, we all use them, and they're all stereotypes.
Have you seen that commercial about tea time? It's a very cute commercial. A lady's at the pharmacy picking something up and runs into a friend who says, you know, now don't forget about tea time, 4 o'clock.
Oh,
and
golf.
It runs along and you think they're talking about having tea together and they're going to play golf. And it's yeah. wonderful. It shows older people in a much more up-to-date life. Debbie, what are some activities and programs that multi-generations can share?
There are so many, and they come in all shapes and sizes. There are programs where we have youth who serve older adults. There are programs where we have older adults serving youth. There are programs where we have older adults and youth serving the community. At Interages, which is the agency that I work for, we run the gamut. We have programs where older adults serve as mentors and tutors in school to help really young children with their reading and with their language arts. We have seniors who go to school and work with children who come from homes where English is not the first language, and they serve as mentors. They meet after school to talk about whatever the child needs to talk about to help them with the acculturation process. We have programs where seniors work with at-risk children. We have programs where seniors also in schools serve as tutors to help children improve grade scores. We have programs where children in preschool through high school visit seniors in adult daycare or assisted living facilities. And then we have programs where middle school students and senior adults living in low-income housing facilities come together to do community service projects. We have a program called Passages, which we do in cooperation with the Jewish Community Center. We did it at the summer camp. We had seniors come in and talk about history and values. As I said, we run the gamut.
Do seniors require some sort of training if they're going to mentor?
Absolutely. There's a rather rigorous screening process before seniors are able to volunteer as mentors and tutors. Because, again, many of us come with preconceived notions. And we do have training. And we have training throughout the program. And each program has a coordinator who's in constant contact with our volunteer seniors.
Many times the seniors also have preconceived notions about, especially what teenagers are like.
Absolutely.
Today.
Sure.
And for them to get together with teenagers, and especially if they're talking about things in common, they'll find that their differences are not so far apart. Especially I remember having the teenagers, we had a session on dating and marriage. And the seniors would get so excited when they were thinking of their days when they were dating and in their early marriage. And they were giving the teenagers advice. And it was mm-hmm. it was really neat to hear them sharing dating talk
get to reminisce about mm-hmm. about wonderful, happy moments in their lives. So it helps them with their cognitive abilities, keeping everything in check there, and also just to reminisce about happy days.
Do you remember any of the things they said about dating specifically?
Oh, they were talking about what they used to call
courting.
Kissing.
Oh.
And courting, and that they would hold hands under the tree. I remember this one woman was just, her eyes would light up when she was talking about dating her husband. And that was fun.
Very dear.
What you were talking about activities too, coming from an academic setting, there's always the need to validate what you're doing academically. And you would find that the children would write interviews of the seniors. And so they really put their writing skills to work. And they would do it with much more enthusiasm than if it was just a paper for the teacher to grade, because they would write stories of the senior's life, then they would write stories of their own life and put them in a book. Usually we would have an activity at the end where the students would present the book to the seniors. It was the This Is Your Life program, so the students would get up and talk about the seniors in front of many people. I did this with the middle schoolers, and also with the second graders would get up and stand before a microphone and talk. And so there were those were good skills that, other than the relationship skills, that the children were getting out of it. And of course, the seniors loved hearing all these wonderful things about them.
One of the best anecdotes from a youngster that was visiting in one of our Project SHARE, which is Students Help and Reach Elders, and it's a program where children visit seniors in assisted health-impaired seniors in assisted living or adult daycare centers. The child walked out and said, "You know, they're just like us. They're just older."
Isn't that cute?
It's what you want to hear.
Yeah,
that's the whole idea of why we do what we do. You know, they are just like us. We are all going to age, hopefully.
Margaret, can you say why kids like to get involved or would choose to get involved in some of these programs?
I think it's just a special feeling they get. I mean, especially in the elementary school. It was also true in the middle school. The kids would, the days the seniors would come, they would run and just embrace them in the hall. And the seniors, some of them probably hadn't been embraced on a daily basis in a long time because many of them were living alone. So the kids liked that. They liked talking to them. They liked the special feeling that the seniors made them feel very special, too. So I think that's why they like to get involved.
Children and seniors, too, have a lot more in common and very similar needs than they often know they have themselves. You know, seniors like to be needed, and kids need to be nurtured.
Mm-hmm.
Seniors have lots to share and, you know, have a need to pass on the experience and skills to leave something behind. And kids have a need to understand, to be able to put their lives into some historical perspective. There are just lots of those similarities that I'm not sure if you asked a child, you know, would you like to do an intergenerational program? You know, that they would...
Right. They wouldn't understand.
You know, that they would...
Yeah.
You know, why? You know, but that in doing it, they find out that there's lots to learn, and reading something in a history book is far different, you know, from talking to this senior who participated in World War II and actually, you know, was there D-Day.
One of the seniors that we had was the first woman physician in Massachusetts, and her husband at the time was graduating from Harvard, and she asked at his graduation, would there ever be any women to graduate from Harvard? And they said, oh, no, never.
Uh-huh.
And the children were amazed because many of them had female pediatricians. And to see this woman who was really a pioneer in the field and have her tell some of her stories about how hard it was to be a woman and meet these challenges was exciting to the kids.
Sure.
Because it helped them see that, gee, maybe I could do something too if it was hard for her.
We like to bring seniors to computer labs in schools.
Oh, yes.
Because many of them have had no experience whatsoever with computers. And we had a group of seniors from an assisted living facility in a computer lab. And the instructor was talking about a mouse, the mouse. And three of the seniors looked down on the floor for the mouse.
Sure.
And so, like when the children say, well, what should I talk about? You know, well, how about talking about the games you play, the computer games, you know, the video games? Oh, you think they'd be interested in that? I said, yeah. I'm sure they'd be interested
in
that.
It's mind-boggling.
Exactly.
Margaret, what disadvantages have you experienced with these programs?
Well, most of them are just the logistics. They're making sure that you plant it at the right time of year. I found that if it's winter and it's too cold, it's hard for many of the seniors to get out. Not all of them, but some of them. It's also important that you plan a program on the first floor of a building so that seniors don't have to walk so far. Once, when a man had trouble hearing because of all the noise in the room, the next time we broke the class into two sessions so that it wouldn't be quite so noisy. One of the other problems is just the logistics of transportation, finding a way for the seniors to come. Many times they may live in a facility where there's a bus provided for their facility, and then often that bus will drop them off at the appointed time, but then it also picks them up at the appointed time. So if you're not quite through with your session, the bus is ready to go. So just more, they're more logistics than people problems, just working out things so people are comfortable. There's also, if you do something in a school, scheduling the activities. These seniors are very busy. So, and there maybe they're going to go to aerobics class in the morning and they don't want to miss that. So you need to have a time that's convenient for them to come to the school, but then it has to be a time that the children aren't at recess or at lunch. So just those kind of things require planning. I also think, and Deborah, I'm sure you found that this is true, is that if you're doing it with a facility, you need to have a person at the facility who's very willing and involved to do this, because it's, even though as rewarding and as wonderful it is, it's a little work for someone. And so unless someone's sold on it, it's hard to round up seniors. And I think also in a school setting, you need to find somebody who's really dedicated to doing it.
So if parents wanted to advocate for something to happen like this in their communities.
Well, the PTA is, it's a wonderful place to begin, because this is what PTA should be doing. Perhaps giving funds to the school for a bus that would take students to a nearby nursing home or assisted living facility, mm-hmm. so the children could in fact visit. Perhaps a parent volunteer who would be the coordinator and the liaison between the school and the facility.
Debbie, is InterAges part of a larger national organization, or is there some way that people throughout the country could get in touch with InterAges?
Absolutely. We have an email address, and our email address is interag, I-N-T-E-R-A-G, 86, at AOL.com. We serve as an intergenerational resource center, and we'd be delighted to hear from you if you have any questions for us.
Thank you.
Maybe we could end up with some of the things that you both could contribute about what kids have said about their experiences with the seniors.
Besides their being older, like that.
And have wrinkles.
I've had children who have said this is better than recess
after they left the facility. That's adorable.
This is a quote from a middle school student who participated in a program where seniors and students did community service together. It says, "I was one of those kids who didn't like school, skipped, hung out with the bad guys. Then I met Mrs. M. We became really good friends. She was like a mom to me. She told me about the past. After being in SETS," that's the name of the program, Self-Esteem Through Service, "my grades improved a lot. Mrs. M helped me look at myself and helped me look at life better."
I like that story.
Well, thanks to our guests, Debbie Stiller and Margaret Mehring, we all have some fresh ideas about fostering relationships among different generations. We are glad both of you could be with us.
Well, it was a pleasure to be here.
I ditto that. Thank you.
Thank you. Our gift for caller number 2 on our listener's poll is free party supplies for a children's party. Everything you need except the food. Call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 to answer the following question. What experience with an older person was most meaningful to your child?
We'd like to send you the free party supplies. We also look forward to your comments and questions. You can reach Parents Perspective through your local station or by email at parents per@aol.com, or call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.